May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. These are words from the very end of the passage from Corinthians that Mary Lou read this morning. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Yesterday, as we were making supper, Cynthia and I summoned Alexa to play Carly Simon, singing, "It's the stuff that dreams are made of." I love the song. But its title is a misquote. It's a line from Shakespeare, but as I say, misquoted. But Carly Simon is not the one to blame. The blame goes back to Humphrey Bogart, and it dates back to 1941 and the Maltese Falcon. That's where you hear the words, "The stuff that dreams are made of." In Shakespeare, the words are "the stuff that dreams are made on." The words come in Act 4 of The Tempest. Prospero is speaking. He's cutting things short. And he says, "Our revels are now ended. These are actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on. And our little life is rounded with a sleep. We," Shakespeare is saying, "are such stuff as dreams are made on. Like dreams, we slip away. Us and all the things that we deem to be so important." It's a theme that Shakespeare comes back to time and time again. The impermanence of our lives. And it's what Paul is talking about when he says that the fashion of this world passeth away. The Greek word that is translated fashion in the King James Bible is schema. It appears only one other time in the New Testament, and that is in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians. Scholars agree that both Corinthians and Philippians were certainly written by St. Paul. So it's worth looking to Philippians to see what Paul meant when he used this word, schema. You'll recognize the verse in Philippians. Paul is talking about Jesus, and he says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." it's clear from that verse that Paul uses schema to mean that Jesus was authentically human in every way your senses would assess him. In his appearance, in his bearing, in his speech, in his actions, in his manner of life. And that is just what he means when he says in Corinthians that the fashion of this world is passing away. He's saying that everything that we have known about our world, its history, its political order, its physical composition, its laws, its values, its high and mighty and its weak and lowly, its wisdom, its foolishness, its pretense and its beauty, they are all coming to an end. The totality of everything that God set in motion when he created time, the heavens, the earth, man and beast, is ending. It is all in its last days. Just as the act of creation baffles our imagination, so does its end. You find yourself asking, you mean there won't be anything left? And the answer is absolutely nothing of what we have known will be left. It was all no more than the stuff that dreams are made on. All the great religions of the world are founded on an acknowledgement of the ephemeral nature of life. Nothing lasts, it all passes away. Solomon, speaking in Ecclesiastes, says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle. I gathered me also silver and gold. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. Why does Solomon conclude that all is vanity? Because nothing lasts. It all passes away. And it is not so just for Jews and Christians. For Buddhists too. Impermanence is one of the three essential marks of existence. Likewise for Hindus, nothing lasts, and everything is in a constant state of change. Meditation, that is the mark of both those religions, is focused on emptying the mind so as to minimize the suffering that we cause ourselves by our desire to find permanent happiness in impermanent things or people. Islam teaches the same thing. In Arabic, there is a word, dunya. It means much the same thing as schema in St. Paul. It's the totality of the material world. And the Quran teaches that dunya is passing away. And therefore, our goal should be the life to come. Confucianism also recognizes the impermanence of all things. So Confucius said of people, they must often change who would be constant in happiness or wisdom. The first letter to the Corinthians is one of Paul's most practical books. It's all about Paul, the leader and guide of churches, not Paul, the theologian. So he addresses this worldly issues that face the church in Corinth. He deals with schism, immorality, lawsuits, marriage, idolatry, preacher's pay, gender issues, spiritual gifts, even fundraising for the church in Jerusalem. And he doesn't diminish the importance of any of those issues, for now they are issues to be addressed. But he insists that they all be put in perspective. While these things so press for attention, it must be remembered that they are all simply passing away. Mike Ditka was choking up as he made his farewell speech as a player after retiring from the Cowboys in 1972. No less than three times he said, "This too shall pass." And it did. Tom Landry hired him back as assistant head coach. Ditka was using a familiar mantra, four comforting words, to try and get the lump out of his throat. Unfortunately, he thought the words were from the Bible, and he said so. But they're not, though people think they are. Abraham Lincoln was the first to popularize the phrase, "This too shall pass." In a speech he gave in Milwaukee in 1859, Lincoln remarked, "It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence to be ever in view, and which should be true and appropriate at all times and in all circumstances." And they presented him with the words, "And this too shall pass." How much it expresses, Lincoln went on. How chastening in the hour of pride. How consoling in the depths of affliction. When we are full of ourselves, we need to be reminded that this shall pass away. And so too, when we are heartbroken, this shall pass away. As Paul told the church in Corinth, the fashion of this world passeth away. Paul had a reason for hammering home the truth that there is nothing permanent in this world. As he counseled the Christians in Corinth about all the practical daily issues that they faced, he wanted to be sure that they focused on the one true ultimate reality upon which they could depend. And that was the love of God, which does not pass away. And that is true for us. Everything else passes away. It's not a cause for depression or despair or retreat from the world. It simply is how it is. When it comes down to it, there is no discernible place where we can stand. No shelter, no harbor, no friend that will really last. It's only when we realize in the depths of our hearts that that is true, that we can then say the words of Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. For my hope is from God. God alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. And I shall not be shaken. Amen.